In WEM Update News, I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Yesterday morning, smoke engulfed Imangux Water and Sewer Plant when a vacuum pump burnt out. Imangux Water and Sewer Supervisor Arthur Red Fox says leaks in the sewer system overworked the pump, reducing the system from two pumps to one.
Our number one pump gave out or burned out, and we're our number two pump. So if that gives out, the whole vacuum system will be shut down.
The vacuum pumps suck out gray water, meaning when they don't work, toilets and sumps don't drain. Red Fox says if the current pump fails before the damaged pump is repaired, Imangux's only option will be honey buckets.
If this pump gives out, yes, we're going to have to go back to the old ways.
Several leaks have been located, with more expected to be found. Red Fox advises residents to call the water and sewer plant if they identify a leak in their toilet or sump. The replacement pump is being expedited by priority and is expected to arrive in 3 to 4 days. Wilma Osborne has been rearrested and moved back to the Anvil Mountain Correctional Center in Nome. Alaska State Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters says it appears Osborne broke the terms of her bail after deliberately leaving the company of her third-party custodians yesterday. In between the time Osborne was released from custody and set to fly to Anchorage, she went off unaccompanied and was recovered by state troopers shortly afterward. Both Osborne's husband, Eric, and her older brother, Philip Brown of White Mountain, have since withdrawn themselves as third-party custodians. As of right now, both men are believed to have responded in full keeping with their legal obligations. Nome District Attorney John Earthman says he has no plans to charge Osborne with any further crimes after yesterday's events. Earthman says the case involves trying to balance public safety with addressing mental health concerns that cannot be met in Nome. Osborne was released yesterday after being held in connection with four assault charges connected to an altercation with Anvil City Science Academy principal Todd Hindman last month. Earlier this week, Magistrate Brooke Aloa set conditions for Osborne's bail. Bail was lowered from $30,000 to $5,000 to allow for Osborne to receive mental health treatment in Anchorage. And State Natural Resources Commissioner Dan Sullivan is resigning amid speculation he'll run for an Alaska U.S. Senate seat next year. The news comes as another Republican, Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell, officially launched his campaign for Senate Thursday. Sullivan plans to resign effective September 24th. In his resignation letter to Governor Sean Parnell, he says he intends to seek ways to serve his fellow Alaskans as he explores new opportunities and challenges in the next phase of his life. Sullivan was returning from a conference in Asia and not immediately available for comment. Sullivan was appointed DNR commissioner in 2010. Before that, he served as an Alaska attorney general and in the administration of President George W. Bush. He was recently deployed to Afghanistan after being recalled to active military duty. As Republicans jockey for his job, U.S. Senator Mark Begich is making a trip to Alaska this weekend. Leaving Washington, D.C. today, spending all of Saturday in Nome, and heading straight back to D.C. on Sunday. As advertised, Begich will host a town hall meeting at 5:30 to 6:30 tomorrow evening at Old St. Joe's. The senator encourages Nomeites to come to that meeting with questions and ideas.
That is any issue on any topic about anything. So if you have a gripe about the federal government or something that is working out well for you, or some issues you just want me to be aware of, or maybe you want to tell me what you think of the oil and gas development, or you want me to tell me about Indian Health Services, or you want to tell me about Syria, whatever it might be, that evening event is really an open season in a sense.
Senator Begich chairs the Oceans Committee and deals with fisheries. With the upcoming reauthorization of the Magnuson-Stevens Act, Begich will be hosting a listening session at the Quirick Boardroom Saturday from 12:30 to 1:30.
The Magnuson-Stevens Act won't need massive changes, but there's clearly things we want to talk about. For example, there's no discussion at this point in the current law about climate change, the impact on our waters, acidification of our waters. That wasn't even a topic when the act was originally done. So a lot of issues out there, but I don't see like a wholesale rewrite, but I do see some improvements that need to be made.
Another listening session will take place regarding FEMA. A FEMA administrator will also be present at that meeting from 3:30 to 4:30 at the Quirick Boardroom. And with the recent spike in aviation crashes across the state, the Alaska Regional Office of the National Transportation Safety Board has called upon assistance from the Lower 48 to help review the accidents. When fully staffed, the Alaska office employs three full-time investigators, but Chief Clint Johnson says additional aid is needed.
Because of the activity that we've had in the last couple of weeks, actually the last month, those investigators have pretty much reached a saturation point. So we did ask for some help from one of our other offices in the Lower 48.
As of September 10th, the Federal Aviation Administration recorded 85 accidents in Alaska this year, totaling 32 fatalities. With the weight of the recent accidents, Johnson hopes adding an investigator will serve as a precautionary act, ensuring the crashes receive proper reviews.
We don't want to overload them. We don't want to miss anything. So that's why we decided to go ahead and bring an investigator up to give us a hand for at least a week or so here to get through our busy season.
An increase in aviation accidents is common in September with weather conditions changing as we enter fall time. But as far as why this year has proven so fatal, Johnson says it's too soon to tell.
The most recent accidents would have obviously happened in the last 6-8 months. Those are still very much in the preliminary stages. The investigations are continuing and we're not drawing any conclusions at this point right now.
Johnson describes the call for assistance as a standard procedure for national transportation safety offices across the country, with Alaska investigators having aided offices in the Lower 48 in the past. And the price per ounce of gold dropped $44.80 to close at $1,321 even yesterday. Silver was down $1.48, a loss of almost 6.5%. These are just two examples of an overall rapid decline in the mineral market. For mineral-rich areas like the Seward Peninsula and the many mines scattered across Alaska, local economies are heavily influenced by global factors. Yesterday's drop in the price of gold, as well as its slow decline since peak levels in 2011, is connected with a shared perception in the financial markets that the global economy is, for the most part, doing better. According to Steve Carthcart, a commodities trader at Archer Financial Services in Chicago, the sinking mineral market is connected to factors as diverse as the fallen joblessness claims filed to the dwindling prospects of a U.S. military effort in Syria.
Concerns about Syria, also tapering, fears from the Fed coming in here and purchasing less mortgage-backed securities has put pressure on gold. Also, another part of the issues here was the country of India is purchasing less gold. So all those different factors put pressure on gold today.
Carthcart went on to explain that the recent upswing in the price of gold during July and August was due largely to worldwide concerns over market instability. Gold benefits from an effect that financial analysts and economists call safe haven interests. When global markets are volatile, for example, when it looks like a major military operation could happen in the Middle East, gold is seen as a safe haven for protecting value. And a look at the price of gold this morning, down $10.70 an ounce to $1,311.30. An ounce of silver down 2 cents to $21.82. It's unofficially 48 degrees at the KNOM studios, coming up on 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.